Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Voco vocare. That's the Latin word meaning to call. And so it is clear that we get from this word, voco vocare, the word vocation. A vocation is the calling that we have in this life. And St. Paul begins our epistle lesson today as a prisoner of the Lord. He is beseeching us, he is asking us to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Now, many of us have many callings. I am a son of God. I am a son of my parents. I am a husband. I am a father. I am a brother. I am a pastor. And I am a brother in Christ. You all have your own various callings. And too often we think of our vocation just as our job, as that which pays the bills. And so if I normally ask you the question, what is your vocation? Your first thought is to say whatever it is that you do for a living, or whatever you did before you retired. And yes, that is a calling, that is a place where God has placed you in your life. But first and foremost, our calling is to follow Jesus. My life as a believer of Christ trumps all other things. And then comes my life, my calling by God, to love my wife as Christ loves the church. To love and to teach my children the faith that has been instilled in me. A faith that has been handed down for generations, not just as a piece of that which is handed down as tradition, but a piece of that, the most important thing in the world, Jesus Christ. Whatever you do for a living is good as long as it is faithful to following God's word. But it is not the entirety of who you are. First and foremost, you are a Christian. You bear the name of Christ in you. A name that was placed on you in the baptismal water. When his name was proclaimed over you, when his word attached to that plain water and you were baptized, you were marked by the cross of Jesus Christ upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Your identity is one who is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You belong to Jesus. And I pray that all the other vocations that you have in this life, you bear the name of Jesus clearly and proudly. We do not take pride in of ourselves, but we boast in the Lord. We boast in what he has done, because he has done it not just for me, but for the whole world. It would be easy for me to say, hey, look, I'm a pastor. I must be loved more by God because my profession, my calling is to tell people about Jesus. But that would be prideful, wouldn't it? Because I'm a sinful, fallen man just as you are. And your calling as a Christian is just as important. Because your calling as a Christian bears out how you live your life. It bears out your example, the light that Christ shines through you in every step of this life. If you are a Christian, you will be a better husband and a better wife, because you will devote yourself to the things of Jesus. As a husband, you will lay down your own desires at the foot of the cross, and instead you will pick up that which is most important, that which is most needful for your wife. You will lead her in prayer. You will lead her in devotions. You will lead her by bringing her to church each and every week. If you are a Christian wife, you will follow. You will follow as your husband prays with and for you, and you will pray for him as well. You will follow as he reads the scriptures to you. You will follow as the Holy Spirit digs deep into your heart, cleansing you each and every day. You will follow to the place where our Lord has promised to give his gifts of word and sacrament. If you are widowed, you will also follow, for you know that the house of the Lord is a place where his word still builds you up. You will continue to follow that example by reading the scriptures every day, by praying every day. If you have been blessed with the gift of children, if God has called you into the vocation of father or mother, God has given you a precious gift. If he has called you to be a father, then your responsibility, first and foremost, is to instill the faith, to proclaim the word to your wife and to your children. You are not to spare the cost that makes that necessary, that they grow up in a life of faith. You are to teach them how to pray. Your pastor and your church exist to assist you, to equip you in this important work, that your children see Jesus first and foremost every day in you, not just for the hour they spend with me in class, a man who gets paid to tell them about Jesus, to teach them about Jesus. Of course, I'm going to do that. The amount of time that they see Jesus in you will have a greater impact. If God has given you a family, fathers, it is your responsibility, your calling by him to provide for them and to protect them and to instill the faith. If our Lord has given you the vocation of mother, it is your responsibility, your calling to be the nurturer, to be the heart that takes that house and makes it a home. That your children see the sacrificial love of father and mother. And after those vocations, after you honor your father and your mother, after you serve your brothers and your sisters, then that other vocation becomes clear. Because the way you are in your daily life as a Christian will impact the way you are as an engineer or a mechanic or a teacher or whatever other vocations that you have. God has given you that calling because it is necessary for our neighbor. God has given you that calling so that you may fulfill his will by doing the very best that you can. That you make a good product because it serves your neighbor, not just so that you can be seen by your boss, but so that your neighbor has something that is good. Let your co-workers know that you are a Christian. If you are going to work tomorrow morning, go around the water cooler or wherever it is that you gather at the lunch table. And when the conversation comes up, hey, what did you do over the weekend? I know that there's no Packer game today, so you can't talk about that. So it gives you an even better opportunity to talk about what you did this weekend. And the most important thing that you did this weekend is exactly what you're doing now. I went and heard God's word. I was reminded of my vocation. But more important than my vocation, I was reminded that I have a Savior. That I have a God who loved me so much that he took on flesh like me. That he lived a perfect life. And then he died on the cross. Because I can't fulfill God's will myself. But I have good news, because that man, that God who went to the cross, even though he died, he is alive. We serve a king who still reigns. If there's a song that we sing today that means something to you, and I know that our communion hymns are very important to us, talk about them. It feels weird at first until it doesn't anymore. Tell them about the thing that is needful. It's easy to talk about the weather. It's easy to talk about sports. But it should be easy for you as a Christian to talk about Jesus. Because more important than the weather or the sports, this person that you are communicating with needs to see Jesus. We do not exalt ourselves. We do not make them to believe that we think that we are better than them because we have been called out of the muck that is our life into the light. We are humble about this. We share it with them in joy because we know what state we would be in without Jesus. We know how despairing we would be without Jesus. They need to know the same faith that you have because that is the one thing that will lead them to eternal life. We endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your call. There is one hope of salvation, and that one hope is Jesus Christ. Don't look at the person and say, hey, he tries to be good. He's relatively a good person. Therefore, I think he'll be in heaven. That is not what the Scripture teaches. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. And the people in your life need to know who he is. Begin in your own life. Begin in your own home. Because after all, if you cannot pray with your spouse, if you cannot tell your own children about Jesus, how on earth are you going to tell anyone else? This God is God over all creation, and they need to hear his message. They need to know that there is a feast that is waiting. But that feast that is waiting is only for those who do not reject the gift of grace, who do not reject the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether you believe it or you don't. Our Lord calls us to this banquet, a foretaste that is set before us this very day. That when we feast on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ this very day, it points us to the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall never end. That is the joy that we have. We have a joy that conquers death. We have a joy that conquers sin and the devil. But that joy is only found in faith of the one who calls us to his feast. That joy is only found in Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves because we have an all-powerful God. And really, in his sight, that is, as we stand before him, what do we have to bring? Nothing in my hand. I cling to Jesus Christ. I lay my sins at the feet of the cross, and I cry out for his mercy. And thanks be to God, he hears my cries and he freely forgives me because of Jesus. As you are called to this banquet, use the vocations that God has placed you in that they may hear his call through you. Yes, we are imperfect. Yes, we are sinners as they, but we stand as sinners who are forgiven by a loving God. And so the church sings, may heart's delight, my crown most bright, O Christ, my joy forever. Not wealth, nor pride, nor fortune's tide, our bonds of love shall sever. You are my Lord, your precious word shall guide my way and help me stay forever in your presence. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.